What was life like before integration came? Just in general, you know?
It was pretty rough. Really, we lived in East Tioga. We didn't live in the upper section of East Tioga. We lived down on the lower section, down on Chocolat, down there. And we lived about 7 or 8 miles from school. And we had to walk those 8 miles to school because there was no bus transportation for us, you know, then. And I can remember, you know, how cold it used to be, you know, sometimes and raining. And my daddy owned his own farm, so he had his own wagon and mules that on rainy days he could send my uncle to pick us up in the wagon and have this big old canvas over, you know, and bring all of the kids and live in that area.
In your little bus,
we were running a little bus, and wherever we came to a house where kids were getting off, that was a station. This is the Montgomery station here. This is the Turner station. Somebody would be calling the station. That was a lot of fun to us. But and then another thing I remember is our school term would be cut short. We could not know the school was going to close. Maybe we wouldn't know until that Friday it was going to be closed then.
Was that due to the farming or the just?
I guess it was just finance, whatnot. It would be closed. And I also remember things like this. We would get out of the county, didn't furnish enough coal to heat the time where we were in school. And sometimes we would go to school, answer to the roll, get warm, and then we would start back home. And my father said we were just losing time, you know, doing that. So since we had our own farm and we had a big forest, you know, so he would take my brothers and they would cut wood and haul this wood to school so that we could be warm and stay at school all day. And I remember at the end of the day, the teacher would always say, tell your parents to send some tuition because, you know, they needed that to help on the little pay, you know. So it was kind of difficult, but we found a little joy in it, you know, and, you know, able to make it. And my parents always, and I would ask him questions, why is it that this we cannot ride that bus? He said, we are in the minority. We don't have enough votes, and we can't vote to do that. But he said, it'll be different one day. He always looked up. There's going to be a better way, be a better thing. And one thing about him, he always pulled for us to go to school to get an education.
Was that unusual for, you said he owned his own farm. Did most of the black people in that community own their land, or was it?
No.
There's a lot of tenant farmers?
A lot of tenant farmers there, you know. And I must tell you this. You know, peer pressure. Kids be at school talking, where are they going to move to? We're going to move here after Christmas. We're going to move there after Christmas. I'd be wanting to move, too. So I came home, and one night, my daddy was helping me with my math. And my spelling, that was his area. He dealt with math and spelling with the kids. And I said, Dad, I said, where are we going to move? He said, move where? I said, I don't know. Can't you find some place for us to move? And he said, why are you asking that? And I was telling him who else was going to move. He said, hold it. Let's lay this lesson down. Let me tell you right now. We are at a home, we own this farm, and we're not going to move. They are moving because they have not bought them a farm. And, you know, that gave me, you know, more pride because I didn't want to move up in the community with. You know,
I they were moving because of poverty, and you were thinking they were moving on up the ladder. Yeah. That's funny how kids would think about it. That's the way they put it in perspective, you know. They were looking at it as, you know, it was an exciting thing.
Yeah, exciting thing, you know.
Kids have, you know.
Yeah, different.
They're so innocent. What do you remember about, you know, the separate facilities and things like that? Did y'all go to, I know you said you lived out in East Tobago, but when you went to town and drinking fountains. And
yeah, oh yeah. But first let me tell you something else about the school. My first going to school, I went to school in church because that was in the school building. And even in our church at home that stands over there near the racetrack, that was the church where I learned to read and write, and that's where the teachers had the classes in the church. Then, and eventually, this Rosenwald Foundation built these two-room schools. But these schools were built near the church. We still had use of the church for some of the children.
So church was a real big...
Yeah.
Not just for worship service, but it was a big part of the community all the way around.
That's right. It was our school.
So, tell me now what you remember about the separate facilities.
I would ask my mother. I said, "Mom, where are you taking water? The town in this jug for us to drink. They have some water in the store." She said, "You're not permitted to drink the water out of the store." And see, I want to know why. And she said, "Oh, well, you know, that's just the rule. And just a handful of people cannot just fight it by themselves. We look forward to a better day." And my parents were Christians. And they said, "There will be a better day. Changes will be made." And she said, "That's why we stay on you kids about getting your work out, doing it well, so when that better day comes, you can fit into it." They always had an upward look. That's one thing I could give them. They never had a pity, you know. They never pitied you. And you couldn't use the restrooms or anything like that. And, well, and another thing, you could be in the store and you could be next in line to be waited on. But when a Caucasian customer came up, they could come on and follow you and get waited on you. You would have to stand there ever so long to get waited on. You know, being a kid, you want to push it away, you want to get your neck. But my mother thought, "So no, I won't do that."
So, you know, I think a lot of, you know, when you go all the way back to slavery days, you know, where I think the white people, they push this inferiority idea, you know, on the black people. And I see that you say your parents weren't letting you feel inferior, but they were, they were making you, you know, pushing you on up. And, but, you know, for a lot of people probably didn't get that. You know?
Well, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people. Just so far, just live today. And because I can remember when, you know, I was, I don't know when I told you people about it, not, you know, when Roots came on TV, and I was telling you about on the wet days, you know, we'd be walking, when we see the bus coming, we'd have to jump the ditch. And now here's the road up here, and here's the ditch with water going down here. But we'd have to jump the ditch, jump over in the field there to keep that bus from throwing mud and water on, because the bus driver, he was way over there to the side of the road, you know. And so we all hit that ditch, hit, cross that ditch over there until that bus passed, and then get back.
Well, what was your idea in that time toward white people in general? Did you feel bitter or angry at them?
Well, it was more, my parents never did teach us to hate. They never did, because they said there's going to be a better day, and they always kept that before us. One day is going to be a better day. But what they tried to do for us, make the most out of yourself that you can possibly what can. Because my dad, my older brothers, he sent them to school when they started growing up. They went to school in Birmingham, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to Talladega in 38. But then we were still segregated mm-hmm. because, see, our school was at Westside.
Mm-hmm.
And they only went to the ninth grade at Westside because I finished Westside. And then after I finished Westside, then I went to Drury,
mm-hmm.
Back to school, the high school on campus.
Mm-hmm. That's
where I went 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, my father, he was interested in getting us out of the community,
mm-hmm.
getting us into the area where, you know, we could get to school.
And where did you go to college?
Alabama A&M mm-hmm. University at Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. You got your degree there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So were you teaching here when immigration came about?
I was wanting to see if I had gotten shifted to this county. And in the 40s, I graduated from college in 1948. Okay, I worked in Sinclair County. It was still segregated
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
Schools were integrated after I had gotten on in this county, and I was appointed at Ophelia High School.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got to Ophelia, it was still segregated.
Still segregated.
Because I remember I was in the third grade. When they integrated,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know where you were teaching then, and
mm-hmm.
I was curious as to what happened, you know, when they integrated, what happened to the black teachers and the black administrators? Did they lose their job, or did they put them somewhere?
Mm-mm. They didn't lose the job, because in the law, they were to integrate,
mm-hmm.
you know, teachers alike,
mm-hmm.
and so when they integrated, some of our teachers were carried over to the white school. Excuse me for saying white.
That's okay.
To the white school. And then some of their teachers came over to our school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a sense that everybody felt like they needed a change, even among whites and blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the whites that came over to our school getting used to our schedule and whatnot, and I can remember one lady said to me, she said, "I can't keep up with these damn, what are these damn?" And I said, "Okay." I told her, I said, "I tell you what," I said, "I'll send a little kid to your room when he comes to me, and it's time for you to." I said, "Let me see your schedule, where he's supposed to go. Who you supposed to have?" And I said, "It's time for you to be there. You just wait, they're coming to you."
Mm-hmm.
And they were there. And so it just worked out all right.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any really no conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
So among the teaching community in general, they all kind of worked together?
We all worked together. Because
mm-hmm.
we didn't have any problems. Our counselor, they sent us a counselor. Our first counselor was white. And he worked with our, you know, our kids, counseled them, he talked to us, you know. And that was a sense of a development, an appreciation for each what? For each other.
Mm-hmm.
For each other.
Which was the whole idea in mm-hmm. integrating mm-hmm. to start with. So mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. was, how were the students, did you have elementary students then? Or
No.
You had high school?
I had high school.
So how was their attitude?
All right, then it made no difference with me.
Because I know when I was so young, I was in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, when we had to go from Mumford over to Ophelia.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I remember thinking, well, you know, okay, it's no big deal. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my father came and picked me up from school because in the community back in Mumford, they had talked about some kind of violence, and he was mm-hmm. afraid it was going to mm-hmm. be, mm-hmm. you know, so he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't, mm-hmm. but he didn't want us to go to school to feed you. He just, mm-hmm. in case there was trouble that day.
Something
and I remember him coming and picking me up at school that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood out in my mind because that's the only day he's ever come and picked me up at school. I thought somebody had died or something.
Well, you know, I remember one morning, evidently, it could not have been on purpose. The first one said, the bus driver said, it wasn't, I didn't intend to do it. One high school girl got a little brushed with the bus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, When she got to school, she was mad.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to the home, you know, the bus ride and all, they were mad. And my son was saying, God, they said, where are you? You know. And he said what way he did, he had devotion.
Mm-hmm.
He just had devotion that moment. And he understood what he says. Now, we have always been having accidents all during ages.
Mm-hmm.
People have had accidents, and one car has hit another one, and one little bush has hit another one, but they didn't die over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he handled it. And he said, we're all just going to be what? Careful.
Mm-hmm.
And that just